Today we celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord, the revelation to the world by the coming of the Magi to worship the Christ child, that God is the God of all the nations. The Epiphany is a revelation to the Gentiles, to the foreigners of that time and of ours, that God is God to every nation under the heavens, from the sunrise to the sunset. Indeed, the God of the entire universe. And as St. Paul said in our second reading today, the Gentiles are now co-heirs with the Jewish people of all God's promises. The God who first revealed himself to the Israelites now reveals himself to everyone. The Epiphany of the Lord is not just a personal revelation of God to each of us individually, but it is a public epiphany to the entire world, to all lands, to all cultures and peoples. It is like a sudden burst of light that illuminates and stuns the world. For as the prophet Isaiah said, the Gentiles who were in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who lived in a land of gloom, a light has shone. The Jews from generation after generation after generation had been taught to avoid foreigners and to remain separated from them and to keep themselves pure from their ways. They had all sorts of rules they had to follow in order to not become contaminated by foreigners and strangers. So you can imagine how Joseph and Mary must have smiled at Christmas to see the shepherds come to welcome the newborn king. For the shepherds, they were like Mary and Joseph. They were poor like them. They were Jews like them. They spoke the same language as Joseph and Mary. They had the same culture. They followed the same laws. They ate the same foods. They acted and thought like Mary and Joseph. Now turn the page. And sometime later, three foreigners show up. We call them the Magi or the wise men. You can imagine how uncomfortable Joseph and Mary must have felt, perhaps even reluctant, to welcome them. The Magi looked different than Mary and Joseph. They spoke different languages. They ate different foods. They worshipped differently. They had a different religion. They thought differently. They dressed differently. They were from a different culture and land. Surely Joseph and Mary must have faced a dilemma. Should we welcome these strangers into our midst? Should we accept the gifts that they have to offer? Or should we exclude them and send them on their way? As many of you know, I studied in Rome in the late 1970s, and my time there taught me many things. I saw and studied with people from all over the world. They talked differently than me. They ate differently than me. They acted differently than me. They prayed differently than I did. They thought of the world in a different way than I did. Yet one thing for sure was impressed upon me, and I've never forgotten it, that all of us were members of the same Catholic Church. None of us were better than the others. And I learned that we as a church would be so much poorer if we did not accept men and women from all cultures, languages, and races into our midst. I realized then that the church was rich, for we all brought gifts to be given to Christ and the church. You know, the first real controversy in the church, way back at the time of the apostles, had to do with this very thing. The church had to deal with a big question. Should all converts to Christianity be required to follow the Mosaic law, to accept the Jewish culture, to speak the Hebrew language before they could be called Christians? Many in the church at that time argued that the Gentiles had to become Jewish, like them, before they could become Christians. They said that the men would have to be circumcised, and that all would have to follow the Jewish diet and follow the Jewish laws if they were to be accepted into the church. On the other side, St. Paul and others argued that the church could directly accept strangers into their midst, foreigners who did not adhere to the Jewish culture or Jewish practices. So there was a big division in the church. And St. Peter convened the first ecumenical council held in Jerusalem. And it was decided that the church would accept foreigners and strangers, and that they all didn't have to look and act the same. My friends, we face that same question today in our church. Will we accept those from other cultures and languages and customs and countries into our parish and into our diocese? Or will we demand that they look and speak and act and think like us before we accept them? Will we accept the many gifts they bear to be given to us and to Christ? Or will we say no to them and their gifts? Will we come together as one church? Or will we remain separate? This is a very concrete question in many of our parishes today. And more we may face it here. Minnesota is the home of the nation's largest Hmong population. Minnesota has the nation's second largest population of Tibetans. Minnesota's families speak over 103 languages and dialects. In 2008, 16,000 people came to Minnesota as immigrants for the same reasons our ancestors came, for jobs, land, equality, to be reunited with family. In any given year, 25 to 50% of Minnesota's immigrants are refugees from persecution. My friends, let us remember that the Epiphany of the Lord is a public revelation to the entire world that God is God for all men and women, not just those who are like us. St. Paul has said that the church is one, and we are one. The Magi, the wise men, who come today to do homage to the Christ child, bore gifts. They persevered in their quest and in their journey. They were travelers, migrants, really. They came to give, not to take. They came to worship. My friends, the same can be said of most of the immigrants in our midst today. Let us not refuse them or their gifts.